Shalom, everyone. Wow, we got a house full today. I think you can get a little bit louder. Come on. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful day, beautiful people. And boy, have I got some great stuff for you today. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. A few years ago, I don't know if you remembered or not, but Yedidia brought out I think it was a book, but it was one of the senators or world leaders talking about the next war would be over water. And I hadn't heard much about it since then, but now it's surfacing again, and they say that the global water shortage looms now. It shifts from a local to a global water perspective, and the terms dramatically change. The World Bank reports that the World Bank reports that 80 countries now have water shortages. 80 countries now have water shortages. That's what it says. 80 that threaten health and economics. While 40% of the world, that's almost half the world, more than 2 billion people, have no access to clean water or sanitation. that could be solved easily enough. I can see many ways that it could be solved. It would take a peaceful solution, character education, for a few minutes to point it out, but it can be solved. Growing pressure over water supplies affecting 1 in 5 global businesses. These, of course, are the ones that was taught by the schools of higher learning, and they're the ones that's going to be standing watching it burn before too long. A Chinese sub, this shows you how vulnerable we are. A Chinese sub surfaces in midst of U.S. courier group. Can this be true? Americans' military chief have been left dumbstruck by an undetected Chinese submarine popping up at the heart of a recent Pacific exercise close to the vast USS Kitty Hawk, 1,000 feet supercarrier with 4,500 personnel aboard. Oh, this is great. It shows almost as much sense as setting the clock back and forth every year. Don't you think it'd make more sense to just move it 30 minutes and leave it alone? I think someone forgot to set their clock back this morning. They called me about an hour early. Well, here's more from the schools of higher learning. Teachers' pensions, $500 billion shortfall and growing. This doesn't just affect the teachers' pensions, but it also affects the pension programs for cops. They mean policemen, garbage men, and even public and other public employees. So they're $500 billion in the hole right now. So how long can it last till they can still have your trash picked up and your doors watched? In the south part of Abilene, well, we have spots of them. We have spots of rich people. ACU was one of them that started a housing project, and they put a iron bars fence, looked like jail bars, around it, you know, with a guard at the gate. Now, what would that be for? keep everybody away until Thanksgiving, and then we'll hand out the turkey. Is that what it's for? What do you think? yesterday, I believe it was, there was one in the south part of town. I haven't driven Abilene, so I don't know what is going on, but I guess these are going up everywhere. But they had, I did notice on I-20, a huge apartment complex that had the same thing, iron bars around it, around the whole thing, the whole setup. Well, yesterday in the south part of town, they were advertising on the news where they had one of these, and the woman said she got woke up when a bullet came through her wall. And the police officer, from the direction of the bullet, they could see that it came from the street. I remember in Israel, you know, they build high cement walls for this. So, you know, it's not getting any better. And we're not solving the problems with iron bars or fences. They pretended that the house of Yahweh had these tall fences around its people, and chain link fences with wire on top like a prison, and the news media had the rumor out that we got people in here and wouldn't let them out. Anyway, it's going on, I guess, in Abilene now, but it's not stopping the bullets. So they may have to do like Israel and build some concrete fences now around their property and try to stop, keep the bullets. But then, you know, the enemy got missiles. Now, the same mentality is going on in the schools. You see confusion here. You don't see sensible solutions to any of these problems. The schools, they're having problems there. So they hired some counselors and of course, a big police department to try to stop the bullying that's going on. But Jim Ned School, just yesterday now, the man took his son out of the school, and it was on the news that he couldn't get anything done about it, so he took his child out of Jim Ned School, which is a large school. And the man, the superintendent, I guess, refused to talk to the news media when they tried to question him about this incident. But he did. They did have the family, the husband and the wife of the father and mother of the child, that talked to them and told them how bad it was, how bad it's getting. And the boy, they threatened to rape him if he come back to school. And so he took his son out. I guess the Catholic Church, what their problem is spreading throughout the schools to the younger generation now. And the confused decisions that they're making will put up iron bars, you know. We don't know what to do about the schools except hire some police officers. In Florida, the officials to euthanize 400 pigs. Now, they've had these pigs in custody since 2005. And it says the state officials are planning to euthanize about 400 pigs who have been quarantined for an infectious disease at an animal sanctuary since 2005. The spokesman for Florida Department of Agriculture says there is concern the pigs may have. Concern the pigs may have an infectious disease caused by bacteria that can be transmitted to people. They're suspicious of it. Now, this is 2010, brethren. We have the best scientists in the world, the best that our world could train. They've been training for 6,000 years. And they're holding these, and now, still suspecting something is wrong, they're going to kill the pig. Well, that makes about as much sense as some of the other things, the issues that we see taking place in the world. They don't know how to solve a simple problem, just a little bitty simple problem. They don't know how to go back and trace it to its source. And of course, they won't use the scriptures, which tells them, you know, these relationships that you're creating between man and beast is going to get you in trouble. Well, of course, they know it now. They know it big time, and they've got a big monster on their hand right now in Florida. And so they're going to kill the pigs, get them out of the way. You know, let's kill the cats. They're the spreaders of, they're the black cats especially. They're the ones that put the curses on the people and call bubonic plague. You remember that decision that was made? So let's kill all the cats. world leaders are making about the same decisions too. I want you to go back. I hope you're remembering these scriptures where we leave off. Every one of these, as Barack Obama said yesterday, each one of these things is not a setback. It's a, even though there's disagreement among the world leaders that he's visiting, you know, we're getting information in, we're getting education in, we're getting closer to the point to where the peace will come around and it will be accepted. So he's hammering at this block. Well, that's what we're doing now. We're bringing information. You can't bring a book the size of the Holy Scriptures, you know, in a week, and the deceptions that have gone on for been building now for 5,000 years or more. In the minds of the people, you can't correct this overnight, but we're getting bits and pieces of information in each week that will help everyone in the world to see, right, what we're speaking of. Now, in Isaiah, of course, let's go to Isaiah 2. That's the first scripture. But Yahweh shows his plan, and he showed it from the beginning, but he hid it from the wise and the prudent, he said. And the Savior, Yahshua Messiah, said, I praise you, Father, that you have hidden this from the wise and prudent. Well, of course, he was speaking of the schools of higher learning. And then Daniel said, none of the wicked will understand, which a wicked person is one who breaks the Sabbath. That's a simple way of becoming wicked is breaking the Sabbath, not attending services at Yahweh's house, or not coming to his house, not seeking the place where prophecy says, I'm going to establish my name in these last days, and they will bring forth the perfection of Yahweh from that place. And of course, this work, he says, he's showing that this work, being managed by Yahshua Messiah as high priest over the house of Yahweh, that it's going to actually spread to all nations, and eventually they will all come to this house to keep the Sabbath. Now that's the plan of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Well, here in Isaiah 2 and the first two verses, he shows concerning Judah and Jerusalem, the work won't be there, he says, but it's going to be in the last days, he says. It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain, that is promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nation. So there's going to be a promotion take place, an advertisement take place, publications take place, as was shown with the one of the scriptures. I'll bring you later, but I read it to you the other day several times, but I know you didn't catch it because I didn't elaborate on it. But the judgments are actually going to be published, he said. That was the prophecy. Well, those judgments are being published at this time throughout the world. One of them is the Character Education, Peaceful Solution Character Education Program that publishes Yahweh's judgments and shows the correct way to peace, The only way you can keep it from working in your life is just refuse to use it, which many have. And of course, that's the reason we see the confusion throughout the world that we're seeing today. But back in chapter 1 here, if you look closely, he says, in the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah. And then in verse 2, he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for this is what Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up this nation, and they have rebelled." You notice that word rebel. They have rebelled against me. Remember this in chapter 2 here now. They have rebelled against me. So concerning Judah and Jerusalem, the work's not going to be there. There's another work prophesied to be in another place. Chapter 2, I'll have it. I'll establish my work in the chief of the nations. That is the promotion of this work. This is just a promotion of it that's going to build to where this work will actually bring peace not only to the nations on earth, but what is left of the nations. But let's go be turning over to Micaiah. What is left of the nations, they will actually repent and turn to Yahweh. If you look at chapter 3 here first of Micaiah, we see the leaders. Now, in Isaiah, he was speaking of the Judah and Jerusalem, cities, groups as a whole. But here he shows you the reason that this is taking place. And he points out the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, Yada and Jerusalem. "Then I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice?" It should be. It should be for them to be studying these things, justice, the judgments of Yahweh, the justice that Yahweh shows in his laws, statutes, and judgment. That's what they should have been studying, instead of studying what they're getting from the schools of higher learning. You got problems in the world? Well, build a fence around yourself. That'll solve the problem, surely. Pass out a turkey. One group of people, they were advertising on television. They were needing money. They were needing help because they didn't have enough help to get these poor people dinner on Thanksgiving Day. And I thought, well, you know, they're probably going to be starved to death if they don't have any food between now and Thanksgiving. You know, this has been going on now for 3 months. They've been asking for more money for Thanksgiving Day. Well, what are they doing? What are they eating right now? We don't care. Just Thanksgiving Day, that's the one that brings in the money, boy. Next, we'll go to Christmas. And we'll start using that to bring in more money, not to the poor. Is it not for you to know this justice? Well, yes, it is. That's what you should have been learning instead of what you are learning. You who hate righteousness. Well, at this time, of course, we see a hatred for righteousness throughout the world. And of course, when a root of bitterness gets into a person, they start hating righteousness, even after they've been here for many, many years. But they love evil. These people, you who hate righteousness and love evil. Well, this was not just for these people at that time. Yahweh shows in the prophecies concerning the same thing here, that it would be in the world in the last days worse than ever before. So when you see the prophets speaking to Yada and Jerusalem, they're speaking to the 12 tribes, of course, that are showed in Genesis 49, and says in the very first verse, this is going to be in the last days. And this teaching that has come down through these generations is going to be for the last days also, but worse than ever before, to where The water supply can actually be shut off from a nation, used up by people who say, I've got to have this for my business. Well, they're not just talking about a small business that needs some water to wash their pots and pans, like a restaurant. They're speaking of businesses where they use millions and millions of gallons of water for cooling systems, for purifying systems that takes the sludge that they don't want in this manufacturing company and takes it on down and dumps it in the river, that dumps it in the lakes, that dumps it in the ocean. So as a result of this, of course, the end result winds up with sickness and disease, and of course the pollution of our waters, and not only our waters but our air. And this is what we've got to keep going, because hold your place right there. We've got to keep this going, as we see in Revelations, which brings forth the end result of this. Revelations 18. If you'll notice here, he's speaking here now of the sentence of this great whore. This starts in chapter 17, and I know you're familiar with it. I hope everyone in radio and TV land is, but if you're not, get our tapes or just stay tuned in, because we have several sermons on this. But he talks about the religious system that is ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, right now, they're having economy problems. More banks closed in 2010 already than closed in the previous year. That is, the Fed shut them down. I just read that article. We're not speaking of religion here. We're speaking of a religion, yes, that rules the kings of the earth, but they're not teaching religion per se, except don't follow the laws of Yahweh. That's their teaching. That's their religion. Their total religion is based on iniquity, which means doing away with the law. Well, chapter 17, verse 1 shows, I'm going to show you the sentence of this great whore that is leading the kings of the earth, the leader of the kings of the earth, not in salvation, but in business. In business. It's a city that sits on seven hills, as you see there in verse 9. And then verse 18 says, this woman that you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's in chapter 17. Now, verse 18, he's giving the world a warning to come out from among them and don't partake of their sins, or you'll partake of their plagues. That's verse 5 of 18. But from 1 to 5, you see a warning to get out of these people, get away from them, because you're going to be partaking of their plagues and, of course, their sins. Their sins is what causes the plagues. But now if you look on down to verse 8, you'll see that this plague brings forth the only way they know of to solve the problem, and that is nuclear war. We just saw some of the Republicans this week talking about, we want to leave a small portion of the soldiers of their army in Iran, but we only want enough left of their army to have a police force that we can rely on to help us to rebuild the country. We want to devastate their nuclear activities and their army to the point there will be no rebuilding, they said. Now, these are the plans, brethren, that's being made to solve the problems. That's to solve the problem. And of course, this is part of their problems. If they didn't take up this water in their cooling plants, water that can't be used, can't be reused, So they dump it in the ocean and the rivers and so forth. I saw this taking place big time when I went to Canada to hold a meeting a few years ago. And we went out to the friend, one of the friends that invited us up and paid for the trip and had everything organized. He twisted my arm to go fishing on the Great Lakes, and I hated it, but somebody had to do it, you know. He had the boat leased and everything, so I had to go. But coming back into the shore, after we'd caught all these beautiful fish, and we caught quite a few, but coming back into the shore, it said, "Don't eat the fish." And had a pollution sign that said, "Don't eat more than 4 ounces. Don't eat more than 4 ounces of this fish because it is contaminated." Well, you know, this makes you feel kind of funny, you know, looking at this and seeing all this clear blue water, beautiful waters there that we have contaminated. How? Well, by building the material that goes into the nuclear bombs that we're fixing to use. And in using this, they have to have a certain amount of water, a big abundance of water, in fact. Even to cool their plants, they have to have it. To produce electricity the way they're producing it here, or did produce it in Abilene for years, they had to have water to go through the plant, which they pump with huge pumps, and thousands of gallons of water a day. And if you walked out and went on the other side of the plant and got your foot in the water, it was hot. The water was absolutely hot just going through this small electric plant. But the waters I'm talking about now that pollutes the lake that it goes back into, like the Great Lakes, they pollute this water because it carries chemicals out from their plant that's been used in making this material that eventually gets to the most expensive part, the most money that is being brought in now. That Bawa Jane, who's the gate opener to the UN, told me personally several years ago, this is an $850 billion a year business. Well, now we find out it's in the trillions of dollars that it's bringing in. Well, here's what you see in Revelation 18 that this is leading to here. And it says, "Come out from among them so you won't suffer their plagues." Then verse 8, he shows that the plagues here are going to bring forth, "Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire." Speaking of the nuclear wars that many of the prophets and Revelation speak of earlier, that comes forth and brings a mushroom cloud made up of three colors. All of that is shown in the prophecies. Look on over to verse 17. "For in one hour, such great riches," this is what it all comes to. The shortages of water that we're seeing now, that I just read you the articles on. I think I did this a few years ago when the book was put out saying, you know, under the rate that is the present rate that the water is being used now by manufacturers, this is what we're going to see. We're going to see war because each country, they don't just want water to drink. They don't want water for their citizens to bathe in. They couldn't care less. They have to fend on their own. What they want is manufacturing water that can produce bombs so they can go nuclear. And everyone wants to go nuclear today because this is where the money is. Money. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. If anyone had sense enough to read how Thanksgiving got started, thanks to the gods, it got started. It was for business. That's just the little businesses that don't take much water. Christmas was the same thing. The only reason it ever gained this amount of energy that it has to bring forth money is from the businesses themselves that advertise it. If the businesses did not advertise Thanksgiving, no, it didn't come from the pilgrims who went out and killed a wild turkey and brought it back and celebrated and gave Yahweh thanks. No, it didn't start there. In fact, it started from advertising turkeys that was overstocked and they couldn't sell them. And this is how it got started. The same thing with Christmas. Christmas is a business-making business. But that's not the big business. The big business is producing these toys that contaminate the water. And some of it, when there's a lack of water, they send the toys out that's still contaminated with certain things. That's because they didn't have enough water to cleanse this, to take this chemicals that's poisoning the child when he bites on it. It didn't have enough water to cleanse it, to take it and dump it in the ocean to kill the fish. Their shortage is getting to them right now. So there's a crying out for more water. Well, cry louder, as Eliyah said. Maybe your God is asleep. Cry louder, and maybe he'll send you some water. More water. Well, the problem is now the population, they say. We need to reduce the population by a few billion people. And then the rest of us rich people will have enough water to produce nuclear bombs. So we can all kill ourselves. No, they didn't add that, but that's what they want to do. But here's where you see the final thing that's taking place. And the wealth, look at verse 19. Made rich, and they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships in the sea were made rich through her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." Well, let's go back now to Micaiah, and the third chapter, and we see where this all got started. It didn't start here. It started in Egypt when the 12 tribes were still in Egypt. They were learning these lessons of richness and how they could educate the people and build corporations and that would bring wealth to their pockets and also how they could keep the people under control. Well, you who hate righteousness and love evil, look on down to verse 5. He says, "This is what Yahweh says concerning the prophets who cause my people to err, that is, go astray, who proclaim peace to those who give them something to chew on or pay, you know, their bribes, their gifts, who prepare war against those who put nothing in their mouth. Night will come over you, and you will not have a vision. Darkness will cover you." Verse 9, he says, "Hear now, O heads of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert equity, who build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity." Now, this is where the priests, the priests that whose hands Yeshua was put into, this is the ones that had rulership over the temple and over Jerusalem, over all of Yada. That land was appointed to them. Verse 11 says, "Her heads judge for reward." This was the kind of heart they had. Look on up to verse 12. "Therefore," he says, "therefore, because of you," because of you. Now, you see where he's pointing to? He's not pointing to Gentiles, as we call them, or other races. It's because of you leaders that was leading this group right here, who later who called themselves Romans, the roving Romans. Roving Romans. Well, 3:12, let's read it. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become heaps of rubble, and the mountain of the house of Yahweh like the high places of a forest. It wasn't Yahweh that brought this to pass, brethren. It was their greediness and wanting to control the people, and their schools of higher learning said this is the way to do it. Build this huge army in Rome, and we'll take these people and try to train them in Babylon. But if it doesn't work, we'll get rid of this place right here, which they did. And that was their only choice because they couldn't get rid of Yahweh's laws otherwise. Because Yahweh's laws was planted throughout his people, with his people, by his people. But here's what history says. Thus did that plowed like a field. He's talking about plowed like a field because of you. Plowed like a field. Thus did the Romans treat Jerusalem. When it was taken by Titus, if you remember, took all the artifacts out of the temple, moved them to Rome, moved the priests too. The priests all went to Rome that was running this place. These were who he was talking to right here to begin with. They and their children that followed them. Titus moved the artifacts to Rome. Then he destroyed the temple, but he also plowed the land like a field. Here's what history says. Thus did the Romans treat Jerusalem. When it was taken by Titus, Turnus Rufus was his name, or as he is called by Saint Jerome. Now, this was one of the Catholics that was writing the history for the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, because it was led by priest, Kadosh, sodomy, that's what it means in Hebrew. Titus, Rufus, or according to Josephus, caused a plow, Titus did, to be drawn over all the courts of the temple to signify that it should never be rebuilt and the place only serve for agriculture purposes. See the note on Matithia 24:2. Thus Jerusalem, is the way it's spelled, became heaps, an indiscriminate mass of ruins and rubbish, and the mountain of the house of Mount Moriah, on which the temple stood, became so much neglected after the total destruction of the temple that it soon resembled the high place of the forest. Now think of what Yahweh has prophesied. Think of that time right there, which was done, this was prophesied in 710 BCE. Over 700 years later is when this took place. Now the ends of these prophecies end with another kingdom that is prophesied, which you're a part of right now, learning to be a part of it. This came to pass in detail. Every bit of this. And these same evil priest that Yahweh said, because of you, he also shows, because of you, speaking of the 12 tribes of Israel and the priest and their schools of higher learning that is bringing this about. He's saying, in the last days, you're going to be burned. This you're going to bring upon yourselves. Well, of course, this was brought upon Jerusalem by these priests right here, by their attitudes in trying to get rid of righteousness and trying to bring forth what they wanted to see rule the world. They couldn't even rule Jerusalem and Israel. You know, the people at that time, they knew things. And they found out things. And they spread these messages. And they refused to do what the king said or what these priests said. It wasn't just Jochanan that was giving the kings and the priests troubles. It was people that followed Jochanan and Yahshua that had the same information they had. And they were giving them trouble. It was spreading throughout the land. They were refusing to work for them, refusing to pay taxes. They were shutting down their kingdom. So the scheme that they came up with, destroy this whole thing. You're not going to get this message out of Israel unless we just destroy the whole thing and set up in another place under another name, which was called Universal or Catholic. It was also called that, as we'll see later, before it was ever moved. Well, now he says in verse 12 there, he said, because of you, this is going to take place. But, he says in chapter 4, verse 1, but in the last days. Now remember everything we've brought concerning the last days, especially Genesis 49, verse 1, in the last days, this is what's going to take place. And then he shows you the prophecies of the 12 tribes, including Naphtali, which saw the great light and brought forth Yahshua. Yahshua and, of course, his donkeys. His donkeys and the donkey's colts. This was the great light, brethren, that he saw that is going to save this whole thing with a new kingdom that is going to be set up here on earth as well as in heaven. But he says, but in the last days now it will come to pass that the promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregations. That is going to take place as sure as Mount Zion was plowed like a field. And it's going to take place in these last days. And Yahshua said this last generation, that all these things are going to take place. And all peoples will eventually flow to it. I feel sorry for the people who want to leave Yahweh's righteousness at this time. They're right on the verge of receiving all of this reward. Their only reward will be with the hypocrites. That's the only reward they got. The fearful and unbelieving will have their part in the lake of fire. It's amazing. I can't feature why anyone would refuse to believe this, especially knowing and seeing what has already taken place. That's the way Yahweh proves himself. He says, who is I can do this? Well, no one can. Only Yahweh, and then he puts it in print for you. Yeah, puts it in print ahead of time, 700 years ahead of time. And then it came to pass just exactly in detail like he said it would. And in these last days, he's also established a house, the house of Yahweh, the only group of people on the face of the earth that have right to this name throughout the whole earth. And he's established it right here where he said he would, in the exact location. Even mentions the forest, oak forest. And then he says, this is going to take place also. Many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain. That's the promoted house of Yahweh, the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. Well, I don't like what's being taught there. I don't think that's his ways. Well, that's what he says he's going to do, as sure as Mount Zion was plowed like a field. Why won't they believe? And we will walk in his paths, he says. This promoted house is going to walk in Yahweh's paths as sure as Mount Zion was plowed like a field. Because the law will depart from Zion, which it did, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. No, you won't find it there today. All you'll find is replicas of the Catholic priest that are still doing what the Catholic priest tells them to do there in that area to try to keep it from growing as much as they can. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to keep it from growing, not make it grow, not make the laws of Yahweh grow, but make it look so ridiculous that nobody will want it. And Yahweh, he says, will judge between many people and rebuke the strong nations far off. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and will stop learning war. Well, when they stop learning war, there'll be no problem with water. We'll have plenty of water because it won't be polluted with the things that we're doing to make it polluted at this time. So that will solve your water problems right there. But every man will sit under his own vine and under his fig tree. None will make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it. For all people walk each in the name of his God. Each person, all people walk, that is today, in the name of their God. But we of the house of Yahweh walk in the name of Yahweh, our Father. Well, to walk in his name means we're keeping his laws, doing what Yahweh says we're going to do in prophecy, and we're doing it, brethren, day after day. Now notice in verse 6, in that day, says Yahweh, I will assemble her that is lame, I will gather her that is driven out with her that I have afflicted. That word I is not there. That has been afflicted is the way that the original read. And I will make her that was lame a remnant, and her that was cast far away a strong nation. And Yahweh will reign over them in or among those who keep all the laws of the house of Yahweh. That's what that word means in that sentence right there, according to Jethro and other authoritative books. And you, O tower of the flock of the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you will it come. To you will it come. The former rule will come. The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem, this kingdom, remember that word kingdom, it will come. If you hold your place right there, turn over to Zechariah. We read this before, but he's promising a kingdom here that will come. And then he explains it a little further over, Zechariah does, in chapter 9 and verse 9. Chapter 9 of Zechariah, verse 9. Remember what it says here. The former rule was the tree of life. Remember, set up by Yahweh. The former rule will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Look at chapter 9 of Zechariah in verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes. So this is a prophecy of Yeshua and a kingdom. He said he gave a parable of the man that left, went into a foreign country or a foreign place to receive a kingdom and return. Receive a kingdom and return. Then he gave authority to his people to do the work, to return. Well, this is the king, Yeshua Messiah, and he's saying, come to you. The king will come to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding a donkey. On a colt, the fold of the donkey. Now, we've been through all of that and showed how he sat on both. That was the big argument that the scholars were arguing about. Well, he surely didn't sit on both of them. Yes, he's sitting on them right now. Right now. And if you knew the scriptures, you'd know where they were. So the kingdom, the former rule will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Have your counselors perished? Well, yes, they all have. Look at verse 10. Be in pain and labor and bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in childbirth. For now you will go forth out of the city, and you will live in the field, and you will go to Babylon, which these prophecies came to pass in the house of Yahweh, where we started going to Babylon throughout the whole Babylonian world. Now we're taking the message. There you will be delivered, Yahweh says. There Yahweh will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Yes, Yahweh is your protection. That's what he promises you. And it's as sure as the Mount Zion being plowed like a field. Now also many nations. Here we see this word nations again. Nations are gathered against you and say, let her be defiled. Let our eyes gloat over her, those that keep the laws of Yahweh. Let us gloat over her, but they do not know the thoughts of Yahweh. They don't know the prophecies. Their fighting is in vain. This work is going throughout the entire world, right under their noses. This is going, the prophecies is going out to the entire world right now from the country to which Yahweh brought us, to a forest, a country. And from here, we're going to Babylon. From here, throughout the Babylonian world, Yahweh has opened gates to get us to all countries of the world. Can you see me? Wave at me. We got them on television, a lot of them. They're waving at me right now. Praise Yahweh. We're talking to people all over the world right now, brethren, from the country. Not in the great city, but in this country right here. Country boys. Nor do they understand his counsel, that he would gather them like sheaves unto the threshing floor. Well, this was Micaiah now, Micaiah 4, 1 through 12. We've got to cover just a little bit here on, and I'm out of time. And we're always out of time. But let's go over to Luke right quick. And remember now this kingdom now. We see everything taking place just as Yahweh said. And then here in Luke now, 21, we see the Savior talking about this kingdom and of course the prophecy of that kingdom that has started with the promotion of the house of Yahweh. This great kingdom, it actually started in the last days as a promotion of the house of Yahweh. But it's going to be the greatest kingdom ever brought forth. And we're going to do it in this time period. Yes, the greatest kingdom. Praise. Well, here in Luke now, praise Yahweh, 21, and look at verse 10. Luke 21, look at verse 10 and 11. He said, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes will be throughout place to place, with famines, pestilence, disease epidemics, and there will be fearful sights, and great signs from heaven. Look on over to Yochanan now. Yochanan 18, and you're going to have to remember these because I'm I probably won't bring them again next week, so remember these, because it starts this about the kingdom of Yahshua. Look at chapter 18 and notice verse 36 here. 18 verse 36, he says, Yahshua answered Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, the parable he gave said, the man that goes out to another country and receives a kingdom and returns. Well, that's what Yahshua has done. He's gone to receive a kingdom and return. If my kingdom were of the world, he said, then my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Yadim. But now my kingdom is not from here. Handed over to the Yadim. He shows several places, several things here now in this one verse, verse 36. Verse 36, he shows that he's going to be handed over to the Yadim, or was, and that his kingdom is not of this world. So it's not something in this world at that time that is going to develop at all into, it's not one of the kingdoms that existed at that time that is going to develop, but a totally new one that starts with the promotion of Yahweh's house. Now look back to Matithiah here. Matithiah, chapter 21. Matithiah 21. And notice verse 43. Matithiah 21, 43. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you. Now, remember, Yahweh set up his kingdom under Moshe. And he said to Moshe, see that you build all things according to this pattern. Well, of course, a lot of prophecies was given to Moshe that he wrote that most people don't even pay attention to. But to bring this thing about and make it work the way Yahweh wants it to work, which is to take away all sin from earth and heaven. In these 12 tribes, he had to allow sin to prevail for a while. It didn't totally prevail because he had a work, the prophesied work in each place that kept bringing forth his kingdom or the message of his kingdom. But he allowed the 12 tribes to go their way, do their thing, worship the gods that were in Egypt, be like the gods, as Genesis said, Genesis 3:1-3, follow this way and you'll be like the gods. Well, he allowed them to worship their gods and bring them back from Egypt, this God worship back from Egypt, and then he allowed it to multiply and take over the world. He had to allow this in order to allow the heathen to come to its peak, the sins of the heathen. And they put sins of the Gentiles, so they don't, you know, they threw you off to where you wouldn't know what they're talking about, more deception. But the sins of the heathen, the ones who follow the gods, must come to its peak. Now, that was part of the prophecies. We'll cover it in detail later. But that was part of the prophecies that showed his plan to take place among the 12 tribes and to come down to the last days where Yahshua then is riding the donkey that actually develops into this great kingdom that he will take over. Stay here with me, he said, at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That is your servants, your servants. So this total thing is not something that can't be redone. And the people that were used in this, that he allowed to go their own way, they did not understand Yahweh's plan. As we just read, they don't understand Yahweh's plan, his judgments, how he's bringing this about. But you do, brethren. You now understand what he's doing. if you keep your eye on this, keep your eye on his plan here and see what he has allowed and why he has allowed it. And know that he's with you right now teaching you. And the important thing right now for you to know is you're going through tests. And those tests will either break you or make you. Depending, of course, on you and how determined you are to be a part of this great work that he has put together already, that he's brought about, and that is going to turn into this kingdom here that he's speaking of. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but from a foreign land. A foreign land. One of them calls it the ends of the earth. Another one called it Oklahoma. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you, brothers and sisters.